single soul. Reaching a world and stepping in closer. CGM TV.
Hello everyone. Welcome. It's Thursday, September 21st edition of Living Life. You know, one of the greatest things about having close friends is the fact that whenever we're going through some tough times, they can call on you. And for sure, I've been able to call on my friends, and just recently my friend, whom I've known since college, just recently called me because he was going through some tough times. And so as I was counseling him, I came to realize, you know, as we get older, issues become more complex. And there are circumstances and situations that we face that we didn't face when we were younger. Sometimes I wish that I was a junior higher or a high schooler. Those are the best moments of my life. But as we got to talking, he continued to just go deeper and deeper into very challenging and sad things that have been showing up in his life. And the only way, really, the only way I was able to once in a while pull him away from that depressed state, or pull him away from that challenging, dark thoughts that he was thinking, was to remind him of the great times that we had back in college. So kept on reminding him, hey, remember that time when we were just hanging out late night at the library, and we were eating late at night at 24-hour Korean restaurants? Or, you know, there's so many things that we had done, and I kept on bringing those times back and reminding him that as we had good times in the past, also good times are about to come for the future. And in the same way, in our chapter Isaiah 25 today, Isaiah speaks of these same kind of hopes for Israel, that in the midst of trials and difficult times, that there will be hope and salvation for Israel to receive as they look upon God. Let's take a look at that text for today.
Isaiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 12. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done marvelous things, things planned long ago. You have made the city a heap of rubble, the fortified town a ruin, the foreigner's stronghold a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will honor you. Cities of ruthless nations will revere you. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm driving against a wall, and like the heat of the desert. You silence the uproar of foreigners. As heat is reduced by the shadow of a cloud, so the song of the ruthless is stilled. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich foods for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The Sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." The hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain, but Moab will be trampled under him as straw is trampled down in the manure. They will spread out their hands in it, as a swimmer spreads out his hands to swim. God will bring down their pride despite the cleverness of their hands. He will bring down your high fortified walls and lay them low. He will bring them down to the ground, to the very dust.
As you know, Isaiah is a very interesting book, and as you are in the book of Isaiah in your devotionals, there are so many themes that surround this book. However, as we go into Isaiah chapter 25, and when you look at Isaiah, chapters 24 through 27 has many themes and topics that are of prophetic nature. So future events, future judgments, day of salvation. These are the kind of themes that are continuously arising. And these things are arising as Israel is being highlighted as they are going through exile and coming out of exile. So as they are in that historical situation, they're still being dominated by Babylonia, they're Assyrians. There are many things that are going on there where they are in captivity or they are thinking about their future or of rebuilding. They're still not out of the dark yet. So in the midst of all these things that are surrounding them, in the midst of seeing their city, Jerusalem, in the midst of seeing all these things that are happening around them, still, it's not a good time for them. It's not a perfect time. Life is still very challenging. They're still not seeing the promise of God. I'm going to ask you, you know, as we believe and you trust in God, we trust in Jesus, even though we go and we worship and we pray and we encounter the Lord, let's just be honest. Life can get very, very challenging. It can get very hard and difficult sometimes. What are you going through? What are you going through right now? Just want to ask you guys, you know, what are some of the challenging things that you guys have to endure during this time? And some of you guys, even as Christians, when you're going through something so challenging, sometimes we feel like God is so far away and we wonder, God, are you going to ever show up in my life? You know, what's going on? And we can actually start spinning and spiraling down a very wrong path. I've come to realize that. And in the midst of this, Isaiah highlights this, and he does something very amazing, and this is something that I encourage you guys. In the midst of challenges that are going all around them and the people of Israel, he reflects upon the goodness of God in the midst of bad times, the midst of challenging times. This is very important, that reflection. Just as I told you about, you know, my friend who was going through challenging times, and the only way I can pull him out is to remind him of the good times and the good times to come. In the same way, Isaiah is reminded about the nature of God, you know, the goodness of God, you know, the love of God. And as he's reflecting, he's starting to come out of his depression. He's starting to come out of his negative thought life. He's all the destruction that is going on, or all the things that he is seeing that he shouldn't see, all the domination of other nations over them. He's starting to like now let go of those things, of those realities, and start thinking about God's intervention in the future. He reflects on the goodness of God. Brothers and sisters, I really encourage you guys to do that. If you're going through things that are overwhelming, stop. Just stop. Stop thinking about those things. Take a few steps back and think about God in those things, in those times. And on top of that, the next thing that he starts thinking about is the promise of restoration. The one beautiful thing that I know about our God is a God who restores. He is a God who continues to transform things that are dead. He brings to life things that are broken. He fixes things that are ugly. He makes beautiful. We know that's the thing about our God. And as we put our trust in Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, our God, I really truly do believe that whatever broken circumstances that you may be facing, that he's going to restore you. He's going to bless you. We just need to sit and reflect on his promises, reflect on his goodness, pray through things, and allow him to really touch our lives. So, to conclude, I want to give you a quick application, or maybe a picture and a vision. You know, oftentimes when we look at ourselves, we're so broken, right? You know, we're so worn down and we feel that way and there's no hope. You know, sometimes we just look at the circumstances around us and we say, this is impossible, it's never going to change. Well, it can. It can with the Lord, and He wants to make your life and the circumstances around your life so beautiful, so restored. You just got to endure. You just have to wait a little bit and keep trusting in the Lord and thinking about His goodness, thinking about His promises. You know, I live in this city in Orange County called, actually the city is called Orange, California. And if you go to old historic Orange, there's these 100-year-old homes that are very beautiful, very elaborate, and very Victorian. There's lots of windows, amazing staircases, and almost all of these homes look like they're actually just built right now. But then if you go down the road, there are some homes that are not looking like that, that are still looking in its, you know, from the original times and never has been restored. When you look at homes that haven't been restored and you look at how run down it is, it can get very depressing. But when you see a home that is absolutely restored and it's shining glory and it's been restored, you look at the potential, what people can do, or what things can look like. And in the same way, the Lord wants to restore your life into something so beautiful, so new. You are a new creation. You are loved. You are blessed. So with that, I just want you guys to take that picture and have that vision. Look at yourself as one whom the Lord is going to transform. So with that, Lord, I pray for each and every person out there that is listening to this message, that are torn, that are broken. I pray, Lord God, that they would fix their eyes on You, fix their attention on You. May You come upon them, Lord, and may they, Lord God, exalt You and highlight You and praise Your name and praise You for who You are. And as they do, Lord, I pray that a transformation will come about in their hearts and in their minds, Lord, and that You would allow them to become the beautiful children that You desire for them to be as You restore their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
For a single soul, reaching a further and stepping in closer, CGM.